Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Judge Gorsuch has not had occasion to rule directly on a case involving Roe. However, his writings do raise questions.
For a judge who likes every outcome he reaches is probably a pretty bad judge, stretching for policy results he prefers rather than those the law compels.
William Paul Young is an extremely dangerous Bible twister who's not bringing to you what Scripture says. He's bringing to you a theology crafted in his own heart.
Northern Michiganders love issues, etc.
It was summertime in northern Michigan.
It is indeed a brave new world. Often what gets reported in kind of the vanguard of science, where science is saying what might happen, what could happen, is speculation. And sometimes we're closer to the reality than we are to simply scientists say, well, maybe someday we'll be able to do this. Do you remember all the promises that were made about stem cells, about embryonic stem cells? And we were told again and again, virtually promised, that there would be breakthroughs curing cancer and Parkinson's and all kinds of things from embryonic stem cells. And it's been, well, now probably the better part of a decade, if not a little bit more, that those promises have failed to pan out. New promises having to do with synthetic embryos, written about in the New York Times, a new form of stem cell engineering raises ethical questions. Well, at least they're raising the ethical questions before the science gets there. We're going to be talking about it with Wesley Smith on this Friday, March the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Will Whedon joins us. The Annunciation of Our Lord is celebrated every year by the church on the 25th of March for a very, very good reason. One day in advance, we will talk about it with Pastor Will Whedon. Katie Schuerman joins us to talk about housekeeping as a vocation. She actually has some really good reasons for keeping her house clean, which is a big task for some of us. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's going to bring us the sure sign that you're being deceived or manipulated by your church leader. And then it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's what we like to do on Friday at the end of the broadcast week. We play four sound bites from this week's interviews. You listen, then you vote, 1-877-623-6943. You can vote via email as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about synthetic embryos, Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and columnist for National Review Online. Wesley, welcome back.
My head hurts.
Wesley, what is a sheaf?
Brief.
What is a sheaf? S-H-E-E-F.
Well, it's this is all mostly speculative, by the way. It's a synthetic human entity where, from what I can tell, I've been looking at the paper and I've been looking at the reporting. From what I can tell, they are talking about creating embryo-like entities, meaning they are not integrated organisms, so that you might be able to use stem cells to form heart tissues that might be connected to some nerve cells, but that it isn't necessarily an integrated embryo or integrated organism. It's very hard to tell. From what I'm looking at in terms of the paper, that was the reason that the New York Times wrote that piece that you sent me. What they really want to do is do away with what's called the 14-day rule. And the 14-day rule, which is a sham, and I'll explain that in a second, basically says that scientists will not do research on embryos after the 14th day. purportedly because at that point, the embryo stem cells begin to differentiate into various kinds of defined tissues. And that's supposedly some hard, firm line, which it never really was. The 14-day rule is just to give the appearance of ethical constraint. The 14-day rule works because they can't keep embryos in a dish past 14 days. So they're willing to allow research and experimentation on what they can do, and then they're willing to say, well, we won't do anything on what we can't do.
Hmm.
Get what I'm saying there? So what they are doing is they are now been working with human embryos in the Petri dishes. They're beginning to move to the place, and I've written about this in terms of other contexts, where they think they may be able to actually maintain living embryos past 14 days in an artificial environment, meaning after 14 days, if you don't implant the embryo into a uterus at this point, the embryo will die, right? Because it needs, after a certain point of development, it needs to be able to develop the placenta and begin to move in that kind of gestational development. So now they're beginning to say, well, we're beginning to learn how to perhaps keep an embryo in a Petri dish past the 14th day. So now they're beginning to talk about doing away with the 14-day rule, which is the Smith rule, which says that a scientist will only agree not to do what he cannot do. And as soon as he can do it, he will say, well, we have to change the rules. And so that's what's going on. In terms of these sheaths, they appear to be, they've done some animal work with mice, but they appear to be a supposition that you can take stem cells, perhaps probably induced pluripotent stem cells. That means a stem cell like made from a human skin. They'll take a skin cell, they'll actually engineer it so that it becomes pluripotent, that is capable of becoming any tissue, and then use that to use the pluripotent cells, if I'm making sense here, to transform these cells into specific tissue types, heart, brain, whatever. And they seem to be saying that you might have be able to, at some point in the future, take these embryo, these various cells and actually kind of get them so that they form kind of an entity as opposed to just cells in a dish. The question in my mind is whether that would be an integrated organism. I don't think you can have a synthetic embryo. If something is an embryo, it's an organism. If it's a human embryo, whether it was made through fertilization, whether it was made through cloning, human cloning, which has been done, or whether it's made through this projected kind of potential in the future, if it's an integrated human embryo, it should be considered a human being in the developmental stage. And there should be no distinction between a cloned embryo in terms of its status as a human embryo versus a natural embryo, meaning one that was created through sperm meets egg, or one of these so-called synthetic integrated human organisms, synthetic human entities, I'm sorry. If it is an integrated embryo that develops like an embryo, it's an embryo. It's not a synthetic embryo. If it is an entity that has certain aspects, such as some cellular growth and things of that sort, but it is not developing like an embryo, I mean, that's something to discuss. But again, we're projecting way into the future. And this is raising very important issues, as the New York Times article stated. That is, we have to have a discussion about the limits that we take human research. Another issue is CRISPR. CRISPR, is, I won't tell you what that stands for, but it's a form of genetic gene editing. And they are now actually able, through a very simple process, to edit the genes of any organism or cell. That leads to the prospect of human genetic engineering. And yet we're not even beginning to talk about, in terms of a democratic deliberation, regulatory discussions, seriously talk about what are the limits of that, whether we should do it at all, and so forth. And that basically leaves it up to the scientists. Well, I'm not willing to do that. This is some of the most powerful technology that has ever been developed by the mind of man. And that kind of power needs checks and balances. And in a democratic society, those checks and balances have to be democratic deliberation, democratic processes, and regulatory approaches. And we don't see that happening. We just basically see people kind of, I think, sitting around with their mouths hanging open because this is happening all so fast.
You started by saying that much of this is speculation, and yet we probably could have said the same thing about, say, human cloning probably 20 years ago.
Actually, you know, in those days, I don't think it was speculation, because once they did Dolly the Sheep, which was a mammal cloning, it really was only just a matter of developing the technique before they would be able to do human cloning. There would be nothing special about the human biology that would preclude it from being cloned in the same way Dolly was cloned. Now, it proved extremely difficult because human biology is very complex, but they have now created cloned human embryos and kept them going for about 10 days, and then they derived stem cells from them, destroyed them for the stem cells. They could theoretically have taken those cloned embryos, implanted them in a woman's uterus, and seen, as they do with animals, like with Dolly, they could have potentially brought it to birth. Now, they don't do that because there would be potential grotesque problems in terms of embryonic development, fetal development, potential birth defects, and that kind of thing. So they haven't done that, and nor should they. But again, human cloning is being researched upon without any real democratic debate. I mean, back during the stem cell debate in the Bush years, when a scientist falsely claimed to have created human cloned embryos, there was a firestorm. Now, when it's actually happened, you could hear the crickets chirping. And why is that? Because the scientists have changed the language they're using so that the public doesn't know what's going on. Instead of calling it human cloning as they were in the first decade of the 2000s, they're calling it, oh, we created stem cells from an unfertilized egg. Well, that's a falsehood. They obtained stem cells from an embryo, from a human embryo, which was made asexually through human cloning in the same way Dolly was made. So they are masking what they are doing precisely, in my view, because they don't want public oversight and transparency. They want to be transparent to each other in their scientific journals, and so they write in a very scientific and complex manner that scientists can understand, and that makes average people's eyes glaze over. But the average people are the ones who are going to be impacted by this, and it's very important that the doors be open and the light be put in, and the light shine on what's going on so that proper restraints and permissions can be debated and determined. But right now, it's the wild, wild west. If a scientist wants to do something, and to a large degree, not completely, they are free to do so, and their only real constraint is what other scientists might think of them, and potentially funding issues. So human cloning research cannot be federally funded because of something called the Dickey Wicker Amendment, which does not allow federal funding for creating embryos for the purpose of experimentation. So that there is that limitation on funding. But there are plenty of very rich people willing to cast those kind of ethical concerns aside and go full speed ahead, and that is actually happening. And the difficulty that the cloners are having is they need one human egg, for every human clone attempt. And eggs are in very short supply, and so, in my view, that's one of the primary impediments to a potential regime of massive cloning. And by the way, if they, I don't mean to be in a soliloquy here, but if they learn how to create human eggs from human skin cells, well, then there'll be no limit to the kind of cloning experimentation they can do. And that is potentially happening, because it's been happening in mice and so forth, that they've been able to make at least egg appearing cells through this induced pluripotent stem cell process. So if they could take somebody's skin cells and turn them into unlimited numbers of eggs, well, that could lead to an unlimited amount of human cloning research. And it can lead to other things, too, in terms of creating novel family forms and so forth. So, again, there's so much here that deals with what it means to be human, the value of human life, the value of gestating or unborn human life or embryos, whether they have intrinsic value simply and merely because they're human, or we can treat them as so much of a corn crop. We have to deal with the consequences that could flow, both those that can be anticipated and unanticipated. We have to also understand that the human race is the species that created the unsinkable ship Titanic, meaning you never know what's going to happen, and you may think you have it all under control, and then the ship sinks to the bottom of the sea. So this couldn't be more important. This brave new world biotechnology advances are moving forward at such a rate that they basically outstripped even the discussion in scientific journals. They're having trouble keeping up. And we're just kind of sitting here sucking our thumbs.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and he's columnist for National Review Online. You can read his columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you so much for your time.
For what it was worth. I'm sorry. This stuff is getting to the place where I'm not sure anybody truly has a handle on everything that's going on. And that is a very treacherous place to be.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Will Wheaton. The church remembers, well, let's just call it what it is, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. When the Word of God comes through the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, Christ is conceived. We call it the Annunciation. We'll talk about it after this.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Reformation was an attempt to answer the most fundamental questions of life then, and those questions endure today.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Who is God? Who am I? Where is God found? What does God make of us? Who is Christ? What's the purpose of my life? Why does suffering happen? All those questions remain absolutely pertinent, and the answers that were given in the Reformation are absolutely relevant today.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, call 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.